Okay, today's daf is daf Nun Dalet. We're going to start, I'm just going to review the Mishnah from Nun Bet Amud Bet, just to get you back to the Yanin. Kol menachot baot matzah, except for the chametz shebetodah, the she'alechem, that are both chametz. Now the question, right, the first thing we dealt with yesterday was, how do we know that they're all matzot, and there has to be matzah? If it's not matzah, it's disqualified. We have the question, then all different issues with that. Then, now we're going to talk about when it does become, when you do have the leavening agent, how does it work? How do we do it? So there's a machloket in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hasu'or bodeh lehem mitochan. Remember we said it's like a sourdough bread where you take a little bit of the dough, the flour, you mix it with water, you then let it become, becomes a leavening agent if you let it sit. So Rabbi Meir says, what do? You measure out all the soleth, the isaron of soleth that you need. Then you take a little bit out, you mix it with water, and then you plant it, bodeh lehem mitochan, and as you take it out from the flour, umechamtzan, and you put it back in, and you kind of bury it into the dough, and it leavens the dough. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afi enam enam uchar. This isn't the best way to do it, because the best way really to do it is to leaven it outside, and then have it turn into a leavening agent over the course of a few days, and then put it into the dough. So he doesn't like this option, and therefore he gives the other extreme. Ela meviat ha-se'or v'notz no l'toch ha-mida u'memaleat ha-mida. So they say, what he says is, you take the leavening agent, you kind of separate it first, a little bit of solet with water, you let it leaven over the course of a few days, it turns into a leavening agent, then you put it into the measuring cup. So when you measure the isaron, that piece of se'or counts as the measure. It counts in the measure of the isaron. And Amru lo, they said to him, api aita chasera o yitera. But this is either going to be too much or too little. So now we're going to start with that line. Okay, my chasera o yitera. We're now five lines at the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Bet, the two dots. Right, first, they just quote the line from the Mishnah of Rabbi Meir. Really, it's really that they're quoting the M part, which is Rabbi Yehuda, the chule part. My chasera o yitera. I'm Rav Chista. Isata se'or ava or ave. I guess it would be ava. Nimtzeit yitera. If it was hard, the leavening agent, if it became thick, then it would end up being smaller. Okay, so then what would happen? Then when you measure, it would end up kind of shrinking. I'm not exactly sure how this works.
It didn't get the air bubbles, which is what...
Right, but then somehow they claim that it would end up being... it would shrink in size from what it was originally. Remember, you had the solet. Let's say you took an isaron. So let's say you took out, I don't know, a 20th of the isaron. I have no idea what proportion, but let's just say a 20th of the isaron to now turn into a leavening agent. When you put it back in, it's less than a 20th. So now when you measure, you put it in your measuring cup, you add the rest of the solet, the flour, you're going to end up with more than an isaron because you had a certain amount, it shrunk, and now you've added more. Okay, so you end up with a little too much. And in nimtzeit, rakah, if it was rakah, okay, where it was soft, meaning you added a lot of water to it, and then it kind of blew up, which is what we would normally think would happen. Nimtzeit chasera. Now the volume of it is greater, right? And therefore, since the volume is greater, when you now put it in the measuring cup, when you get to your isaron, you're actually missing an isaron of soleh. You don't have a full isaron of soleh. So now they say, but sof, ki kakayel isaron kakayel. What's the difference? What it was originally only really matters what it is now. Right now, you have a full isaron. In other words, the se'or counts as part of your measure of your isaron. And you now have an isaron. So what if it doesn't have exactly the right amount of an isaron of solet? Now it has an isaron of solet mixed with that se'or, but the se'or is made of solet. So the whole thing, it should be fine. So Rabba v'Rabbi Yosef, and from here we're going to get off track today, and the whole thing about this, da'amre travayu likimot shehen misha'arim. When we measure it, we have to measure it based on what it was originally and not what it is now. Okay, today we're going to have a whole bunch of things which, do we measure them based on what they were originally or do we measure them based on what they are now? So he says, we're supposed to do it based on the original measurement and that's why it's going to be chasera or yetera. In other words, we need an actual tenth of isaron from the way it was before you took out the solet to leaven it. and therefore you can't do what he said, you know, you can't have a chasera or yetera. So we now have again two options. Either take it out after you measure it, so that way, you know, Rabbi Meir has exactly an isaron. You take it out, you mix it with water a little bit, you put it back into the dough, and it leavens within the dough. Rabbi Meir says that's not good because you're going to end up, it's going to not leaven properly when you do this. He thinks you're going to speed the process a little in this way. Rabbi Yehuda says, so better take it separately, leaven it outside, and then bring it back in, and then measure it. We said, well, that's a bit of a problem because it's going to be chasera or yetera. So now the Gemara gives a third option. Why didn't they suggest lishkol portamine? In other words, measure it out, like Rabbi Meir. Take a little bit out and leaven it, but instead of putting it into the dough to leaven, which makes us think that you're going to kind of deal with it too quickly, lichmetze me'abarai, v'leite b'nilosha b'hadei. In other words, take it out, okay, measure your isaron, take out a bit of solet, and go leaven it outside. Some people say outside the mikdash, some people say just outside the area, okay, meaning, you know, outside the dough. Don't replant it in the dough, which is going to cause you to speed up the process. Take it somewhere else and let it go for 4 days or however long to turn it into a real leavening agent. And then come and bring it back and put it in your dough. Okay? Now, according to what we said yesterday, just some Achron had said that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda is worried is because once you designate it already, we're worried something might happen to it and you might rush the process. Here, they don't really seem to be concerned for that. And that was actually just some reason some Achron gave. It's not so clear why Rabbi Meir thinks, well, we'll see today really why Rabbi Meir says you should put it inside the dough. Because in a minute, they're going to say, what's the problem with this process? But in theory, this should be the ideal way to do it. Again, you have to remember, it's not actually sanctified. I used the wrong word yesterday. I was trying to find the right word. I only thought of it later. It's designated. Not sanctified, but it's designated. Remember, the measuring cup isn't a kli sharet. So it's designated. It's not like it's sanctified yet. So according to this, they say, fine, designate your flour. Put it aside. Take out your leavening, you know, a bit to leaven it. Leaven it outside and bring it back into the dough. So now they say, now there's a separate reason. And this is why Rabbi Meir said it has to be in the dough. You have to leaven it in the dough. Gzeira dilma la'ate la'atuye me'alma. What's going to happen a few days later? A few days later, you're going to take your leavening agent. You're going to put it back into the dough. And people are going to see this. And what are they going to think? That you took it from somewhere else, or that it wasn't measured from the beginning. And they're going to think, oh, it doesn't get measured together.
Who's going to think that? It's only Kohanim in there. They're all doing it.
First of all, just because they're Kohanim doesn't mean they know all the halachas, especially in Bayit
right,
Sheni, right?
The end of Bayit Sheni. They're likely to think that you're suddenly bringing things from outside. I mean, they may think this isn't something I know.
No, but they'll see that you brought it in and you put it into this dough without measuring it, and they're going to think that maybe, you know, you take an isaron and then you add the leavening agent to the isaron. Okay? So because of that, we don't do that. And that's why we bury it inside right away, so that it's everybody sees you took it out, you kneaded it, and you put it right back in. Yeah.
I went to another one of these workshops with Les Seidel, and he did this whole thing about sourdough and the starters and how since ancient Egypt, they were so valuable to people. People would have their special, families would have their special sourdough starters to leaven.
Still today.
Oh, for sure.
Keep it in their fridge.
Maybe these Kohanim have their special starters.
Right.
But what I'm stuck with is the process. I mean, I don't see how you can wait a few hours for the dough to rise. Forget how they did it and how they measured, but for the dough to rise in order to do the korban. Who had time like that? If it's such a busy place and there's so many korban.
So they'd have to do it a few days before.
There's no issue of it's
sanctified.
No, there's no issue because it's not sanctified. Only things that are sanctified in a kli sharet have a problem with leaving it overnight. But they would clearly, the sewer would have to be.
Clearly, they're measuring out the, you know, whole lot of flour at a time. And you just took one.
Right. And they must have had these. Right. This is advanced preparation. Just like the kvasim, they had to do 4 days before to check that it didn't have a moon. In other words, there were certain procedures that had to be done. It shows even more what an operation it was, that things really had to be done properly. Then it also, if you think about it, there's a, well, remember, there weren't a lot of things that needed this leavening agent. First of all, the korban todah raises a bit of a problem. If you need it, right? And it has to be measured exactly.
It's not scheduled.
Right, exactly. You come to the Beit HaMikdash, you want to do a Korban Todah, you can't just do it right away. Unless they already had, they must have had measurements in waiting.
3 days in advance.
Right. Or people are always...
Because remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could just have some leavening agent and then measure it. It's a lot easier to just do on the fly. Because as long as you have Seor waiting around, you can just put in your measuring thing and do it. According to Rabbi Meir, you'd have to measure everything first, take out the Seor, you know, and then you would have to know which Seor went with which batch. It was actually quite complicated.
But for any one person, Todah is a random thing. But there were probably tons of them going on all the time. I mean, it's not that it works.
The Shtei Alechem is very planned. Remember, there's only Todah and Shtei Alechem. Nothing else is leavening.
But I think there were a lot of Todahs.
Shtei Alechem, you can imagine, they prepared in advance. They knew it was coming. Todah is a little bit more of a question. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Ein machmitzim b'tapuchim. Okay, this doesn't mean actually apples. It means apple juice. Okay, you can't let things leaven with apple juice. Mishum Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel amru machmitzin. Okay, this is a machloket. Is this considered leavening using a juice, okay, as opposed to water?
Sure.
Because of the sugar,
because
what? That's why it would.
Feed the yeast in the air. That's why it would be an attractive option.
Right. But they claim, they're saying you can't because it doesn't,
they
don't view it as leavening it. And
they
don't think.
They're saying they can't do it, which means that people were doing it.
Right, like egg matzah, exactly. Rav Kahana matnelaki Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. Okay, so there's a machloka, was it Rabbi Chanina ben, not a machloka, but two different opinions, whether it was Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel who said you could use it as a leavening agent, or Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. Okay, you could see why they would confuse that, the same first name. It was confusing who was the one who said it. Kiman Azla, now according to who, remember we have this machloka, Tanakama, versus either one of the Rabbi Chaninas. Kiman Azla haditna, the following Mishnah in Trumot, who does this go according to? Tapuach Sherisko. Okay, now we're taking a tapuach of Truma. Okay, they don't tell you this, but it's a tapuach of Truma that you turned into applesauce, or you know, you kind of turned it into, crushed it into juice. Vinatno b'tocha isa, and you put it into an isa of chulin. Okay, now something that's important to know here is that while there's all sorts of things that aren't batel. Remember, there's dine bitol, bitol b'shishim, bitol batel b'rov. There's truma has a higher ratio, but if it's davar hamachmitz, if it causes something to leaven, then it's never batel, because we say even though you could have the teeniest amount of it, if it causes it to ferment, it affects the whole thing, and then it's never batel, even the teeniest amount. So now we're going to have to say, if this, right, depends how we view it, if the tapuach that you crush up and you put it into an isa, vichimtza, and then it leavened it, harezo asura. Okay, this whole dough now is considered truma. That's what it means, asura. It's forbidden because it turned all the chulin into truma. And this is because it's not batel. So now, kiman lema, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. This must be Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, because Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel views, he thinks, since they're having a machloket about the mitziut. In other words, what happens when you put apple juice into a dough, is that process, what it does to the dough, is that called fermenting or is it not? So if you're Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, you say it's machmitzin. And since it's machmitzin, it's davar mechametz, and therefore it's never batel. So therefore it must be Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Below Rabbanan. But now the Gemara suggests, no, afilu tema Rabbanan. You could even say it's Rabbanan who says it's not machmitz, but we could say like this. Nehi dechametz gamor lo have nuksha miyahave. Okay, there's something called chametz nukshe, which is chametz that it's like when you ever have this when you make a dough and the yeast doesn't really rise properly, and then you end up with not a great, doesn't really rise, but you end up with something in between. That's chametz nukshe, is where something went wrong in the process. Okay, so he's saying it could be that even Rabbanan will say that it's not batel, because davar hamechametz could even be chametz nukshe. In other words, as long as it ferments a little bit, that's enough to make it considered davar machametz, and therefore you could still say, even though we don't say it's machmitz enough to have it in the category of chametz nukshe. Amar Rabbi Ila, Ein lecha. Okay, now we're moving on to something else. Ein lecha hakasha lekmitza yoter mimenchat chote. There's nothing more difficult, we saw this before, than doing the kmitza for the minchat chote. Remember, the minchat chote is dry, it doesn't have oil in it. Because it doesn't have oil, what happens? What's the shear of kmitza? The amount that fits in between your fingers. Now what happens? You pick up the amount in between your fingers, and because it's so crumbly, it starts to fall out. And then you're going to lose part of your shiur, and therefore it's really, really complicated to get it right when you do the kmitza in this dough, because the dough is so crumbly. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, you'll see in a minute how this connects, Amar, Minchat Chote Migabla B'mayim Ukshera. No, in order, it's not so difficult, because we have a solution. What do? It's true you can't add shemen, oil, but you can add a little bit of water, and you add a little bit of water, and then it's fine. And then you don't have to worry, because as soon as you add a little water, it becomes more pasty, more doughy, and you won't have the issue when you do your kmitza, that stuff will fall out, it won't be crumbly. So now, they're going to say, what's the root of this machloket? Why don't we suggest, lema, let's suggest, this is the root of their machloket. Demar savar kimot shehen masharin, umar savar likimot shehayu masharin. One holds that we measure it based on the measurement now, meaning, this is the second opinion. The second opinion said, as long as you have a kmitza of whatever is in there now, we need a shiur of what you can fill your fingers with. So we don't care if it was the original solet or the solet mixed with water. So now that you have it right now, you need a shiur of what's in front of you right now. And the first opinion that says it's a really difficult job because it's very crumbly, and he doesn't think that you can add water. Why doesn't he think you can add water? Because as soon as you add water, the measurement of how much flour you're going to get in between your fingers is going to be different than without the water. So therefore, he says you can't add water because your measurement, and that's why he says, likimot shehayu misharin. It has to be like it was originally when you measured it. Okay? And therefore, he doesn't think that you can add the water. So that's what they suggest the machloket is. And we're going to see a whole bunch of issues where there's a possible breakdown of machloket between do we look at the shear as it is right now or do we look at the shear as it was originally. Okay? Some of the shiurim we're going to see change because you've added something to them, like in our case with the seor, right, where you added the water, then you put it in the measuring cup, and now the whole issue is, well, now it's not the same amount of solet as it was originally. It's the same thing here. Some of them are going to be that they changed in form because they shrunk or they grew or something happened to it, you know, according to sort of from other things, but not because you actually added something to it. So now they say, lo, that's not the root of their machloket. Dekule alma kimot shehen misharinan. Everybody says it goes based on right now. So why is there a machloket? Can you add water or can you not add water? Baha kamiflege. Demar savar mai chareva. If you remember, it's called a minchat. I'll read you the pasuk. V'chol mincha blula b'shemen v'chareva l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh ki ish k'achiv. There's minchot blulot b'shemen and there's minchot charevot. Charevot means dry. Right? They don't have shemen in it. But the question is, does chareva mean they don't have shemen? Or does chareva mean they're dry, they don't have anything? No shemen, no water. So, mar savar mai chareva, chareva mi shemen. The guy who says you can add water says because it means it's dry from shemen, but not from water. Umar savar chareva mi chol davar. And therefore, this has nothing to do with, do we view it based on what it is now, or do we view it based on what it was before? Tznan hatam. Okay, now we're going to quote a Mishnah from Uktzin. Basar ha'egel shenitfach, u'basar zekena shenitma'ech. Okay, you have meat that, okay, now we're talking about dinei tuma. Let's give some background. Tumat ochlin, okay, there's actually a very famous machloket about this. Tumat ochlin is metame kebeitza. Okay, that means if you have ochel, that's going to be metame, right? We have all different levels of tuma, and some could be food could be metame, other things. So in order for it to be metame, it has to have a shear of a kebeitza. That everyone agrees about. Okay? That's the shear. Not a kezayit, but a kebeitza, which is a larger shear. But then, they say, tumat ochlin b'kebeitza. What does tumat ochlin mean? It means, so there's a debate. Does it mean, in order to, and as everyone agrees, lefachot, in order to be metame something else, it has to be a size of a kebeitza. The question is, what about, if not that you want to, but in order to make food tameh, let's say you put food into a kli that's tameh, it makes the food tameh. There's a machloket, is that tuma? Does the food have to have a kibetza in order to receive tuma? Okay, there's a whole debate about that. So let's just assume right now that we're talking about the part that there's no machloket about, which is its mutame. It doesn't really matter for our purposes. I mean, it matters a lot. It doesn't matter for the purposes of understanding this Mishnah. But we're trying to come up with food having a shear of kibetza, either so it can be mutame something else, or possibly that it can accept tuma. So you have meat that swelled, or, right, it swelled to the size of a kibetza. Or, and as it wasn't a kibetza to begin with, but then it swelled. Or you have old meat, basar's kena, shenitma'ech, that shriveled up. Okay, it was a kibetza, but now it shriveled up. Mishta'arin likimot shehen. Okay, we view it based on what it is now. Okay? So if it's a kibetza now, then it's going to be, right, again, let's just say it can be mitame something else. If it's not a kibetza now, we don't care what it was originally. Okay, the question is right now, when it's about to be mitame something else, what shear do we go by? Rav, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yochanan Amre, mishtarin kimot shehen. Oh, sorry, I said this wrong. Mishtarin likimot shehen. Likimot shehen is the way it was originally. Sorry, my mistake. Likimot, they sound the same, right? One is mishtarin kimot shehen, and one is mishtarin likimot shehen. Likimot shehen means we go back to the original shiur. Mishtarin kimot shehen means we go based on... one second, I'm not reading this right. Sorry. My mistake. I'm not reading this well at all. Okay, let's start from the beginning. First, we have the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the words, Mishtarin l'kimot shehen. Now there's a debate, what does that mean? Does that mean past or does that mean present? Okay, so Mishtarin l'kimot shehen is a debate. So we have Rav, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yochanan on one side. They say Mishtarin kimot shehen, the way they are now. That's how they define the Mishnah. Shmuel of Rabbi Shimon Birebi Virish Lakish Amre Mishtarin Likimot Shehen. Okay, we go by the shiur of the way they were. Okay, so there's a debate when the Mishnah says Likimot Shehen. Do we say, if you look in the, he changed it Likimot Shehayu. In other words, this is the problem. It says, if you remember, before we use the terms, okay, this is why it causes. Before it said kimot shehen versus lekimot shehayu. So lekimot shehen doesn't make any sense. Lekimot shehen, lekimot sounds like past. Shehen sounds like present. So it's either kimot shehen, which is the way they are now, present, or it's lekimot shehayu. Okay, you have to change the girsa. Okay, if you notice in our text, it says L'kimot shehen, but the Aleph and the Hagon Abach says it should be L'kimot shehayu. Okay? So it's one or the other, and there's a debate among the Emoraim which one it is. Okay. Now we're going to have a question on one of the opinions. I forget now offhand which one. Right, on the second one. Okay? The second one says that it's Misharin l'kemot shehayu. Okay, past. Okay, so now we're going to have a question on that from a source. Meitive. This is going to sound very similar. Basar ha'egel shelo hayabo kishiur vitafach. Okay, didn't have enough of a shiur, but then it blew up, and now it's kibetza. Va'amad al kishiur. Okay, now it's a kibetza. Tahur. Okay, it's tahur. Tahur l'sheavar. What was, now that it blew up, okay, anything it came in contact with previously is tahor. But tamei mikanu lahaba. But from here on in, it's going to be tamei, because now at this point it blew up to a shiur of a kibetza. That looks like we go by present, not by past. So what's the answer? When it says tamei mikanu lahaba in this braita, it's midirabanan. That's only, in other words, midoraita, it's not really mitame. But we're going to be machmir midrabanan and make it tame. So then they say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. To say that this braita is talking on a drabanan level, it doesn't make any sense, because the continuation is clearly talking about doraita. Ihachi ema seifa, when the continuation of that braita says v'chein bepigul v'chein benotar. In order to be obligated in pigul or notar, which are chiyuvim midoraita, it has to have a shear also. In order for it to have a shear, you have to, and there the shear is actually kezayit. In order for it to have a kezayit, right, they're going to say it's the same thing. If it wasn't a kezayit before, but now it is, then we're going to call that pigel now. If you ate it earlier, it's not pigel or nota. So it sounds like we're talking on a doraita level. So iamar bishlama doraita, if you say this whole braita is talking on a doraita level, which would then bring us back to our original question, hainu de'ika pigel v'nota. Ela iamar derabanan, which is the way we try to resolve this braita, according to the opinion that it was talking about the past, we're only saying, oh, when it goes by present, that's only a humor midorabanan. Pigel v'notar b'dorabanan mi'ika. Is there any such thing as pigel and notar on a derabanan level? No, either it's pigel or notar midorabanan, or it's not. So now they say, oh no, there is something with pigel and notar that you could say as derabanan. What's that? Ema v'chem b'tuma pigel v'chem b'tuma notar. The rabbis were machmir and basically said that if that pigel and notar meet, they wanted, okay, you'll appreciate this with all our issues about pigel and how could the kohen, right, especially if you say pigel is only bemazid, right, how kohen's going to be bemazid, mess up things. So what they said is that pigel and notar are mitame yadayim, which means that if you touch them, then your hands become tame and they can make other things tame. And that's a big headache.
You're disqualified from continuing to work, though.
Right. So it's going to basically mess you up, and it's a good way to deter kohanim from turning meat into pigul. Okay? Because they want to make like an extra knas kind of thing, that you're now going to become tameh if you come in contact with this meat. So therefore, the rabbis made a gzera on tumat pigul and tumat notar, and therefore when it says v'chein b'pigul v'chein b'notar, they weren't talking about pigul and notar, they were talking about tumat pigul and tumat notar, that if it has a shear of a kezayit, then it's also going to have the tumah of notar and the tumah of pigel. Now, it won't be actually, right, what are you going to say here? Sal kadata chamina, ho ilu tumah pigel, but tumah notar durabanan hi. Kule hai b'durabanan, lo avi rabanan. And since tumah pigel and tumah notar is only durabanan, maybe when the rabbi said, well, if it didn't have a shear, but now it has a shear, we're going to call this pigel, we're going to call it notar. Well, they didn't do it for the tuma, which anyway was midrabanan. It's like a drabanan, a drabanan. Kamashmalan, the bright is telling you, no, in fact, they did. Okay? In other words, midoraita, let's say this meat was, it was a pigul meat, but it wasn't a kezayit, and then it blew up, it kind of swelled a little and became a kezayit. Even midrabanan now, we're going to say not only drabanan, we're going to treat this as a kezayit, as if it's pigul, but now it's going to have tuma pigul. Okay? Tov. Tashma. Okay, now we're going to bring another source, which is going to... this source is going to prove that we go based on the present. Okay, the first source was to question the past, and now we're going to bring a source that kind of proves the present. So it's kind of the same approach. Tashma. Basar zekena shahayabo kishior vitzamak. Okay, so again, it had a shior, and then it shrunk, and is now pachot mikishior. Tamei l'sha'avar v'tahor mikanu l'aba. Okay, anything you came in contact with before will be tamei, because it had a shiur of a kibetza. But now, mikanu l'aba, it's going to be tamei, because it's no longer. So that seems to go like the present. Amar Rabba, kol hecha d'me'ikara havebe, v'hashta lepe, ha lepe. Anywhere where originally it had a shiur, but now it no longer has a shiur, then we go by the present and we say, look, this doesn't have a shiur right now. We're not going to treat it like that. V'chol hecha d'me'ikara lo havebe, but if it never had it from the beginning, v'hashta havebe, and now it blew up, midrabanan. He's basically saying we're going to differentiate between the two cases. If it had a shiur and then shrunk, then we're going to go by the present. It doesn't have anything. But if it never had a shiur, and then it blew up to have a shiur, so then we're not going to, on a doraita level, we're not going to treat it like the present. You follow? In the first case, we doraita, we treat it like the present. In this case, since it never had a shiur of a kibetza, and it only blew up over time, but it's not really that shiur, we're not going to treat it like that shiur. Only on a drabana level are we going to do that. Now, the mida oraita, we don't treat it like it has a shiur of a kibetza, but mida rabana, we're going to be machmir and say yes. Okay? So he differentiates between the directions. So he basically says that everybody agrees with that. Ki pligi, however, the machloket between them is in this case. Okay, so now he's basically saying, even though we saw this machloket, past, present, he basically says everybody agrees. Everybody agrees that when it comes to, if it had a full shiur and then shrunk, for sure we go by the present, doesn't have a kibetza, it's not matame. If it started with less than a shiur and blew up, we're going to say, we don't care that it blew up, we don't go by the present, we go by the past. However, midrabbanan, we go by the present. Okay, we say on a drabbanan level, it's matame. But what's the machloket between them? He pleads in a different case. I would say in between, but we'll see in a minute. Kegon shahayabo kishior vitzamak v'chazar v'tafach. Their machloket is about, in which case this doesn't really have to do with this, where it had a shior to begin with. Okay, which we said then, you know, for sure be tameh at that point. Then it shrunk, where at that point everyone agrees we don't treat it like tumah. But then it goes back in tafach. Now, this is different from the original tafach, because in the original case of tafach, it never had a shiur, and it's only this blown-up shiur. That's not a real shiur, but this really was originally. So now, do we say like this? Demar sevar, what are the two sides of the argument? Yesh dichoy be'isura. This goes back to dichoy. We've talked about this before. Like, you have a korban, right? In kachim, we say things are dichoy. You have something that's ra'oy for a korban, then it gets a mum, and then the mum goes away. Since you had already designated it as a korban, and it was rejected as a korban, it doesn't go back to being a korban. So now, do we say that the same applies for isurim? Do we say, since this was nidche from having the proper shiur, we now view it as if it never had a full shiur, and therefore, when it's tafach, blew up afterwards, we're not going to view it as problematic, right? It's only going to be asur mitame midrabanan. Umar sabar ein dichoy beisura. That principle doesn't apply for isurim, and therefore we view it as a continuum, right? It doesn't break the continuum, the fact that it shrunk in the middle, okay? And therefore, we view it as if it went back to its original state, and it's a full shiur midrabanan, so that's going to be mitame. Okay, that's their explanation of the machlok. Now they say, "Umi ika lamanda amar di yesh dichoy beisurin." Does anybody really say that the concept of dichoy applies by isurim? V'hatnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah in Taharot, kebetza ochlin sheinicha b'chama, if you left a kebetza of food in the sun, vinit ma'atu, and it shrunk from the sun, v'chein kizayit min amet, kizayit min anevela uchadasha min asheret. These are all, if you remember, when we learned about tumah, there's different shiurim of all, you know, different things that become tameh. So a kezayit of a maid is matameh, kezayit of a revela is tameh, in adasha, a lentil size of a sheretz is matameh, ukezayit pigul, ukezayit notar, we just learned that they're matameh, ukezayit chelev, that's also matameh, all those things shrunk, tehorin, okay, all these things that shrunk, they're tehorin, ve'en chayavin aleh mishum pigul v'notar v'chelev, okay, you're not chayav, right, forget about tameh, it's also you're not going to be chayav for eating it if it's pigul or notar or chelev for eating it, okay, because there's not enough of a shiur now. But if after it was in the sun and shrunk, hinicham big shamim, you now put it in the rain, vitafchu, and they blew back up again, tmein v'chayavin aleh mishum pigul v'notar v'chelev. So what do you see from this source? That yesh dicho, the ein dichoy be'isurim. Right? In other words, it goes back to its original state and it becomes exactly as it was originally. So they say tiyuvta, okay? Tiyuvta lamanda amar, yesh dichoy b'isurin tiyuvta. This source basically raises a problem to the person who says, the side that says, yesh dichoy b'isurin. Okay, now we're going to see another source that has to do with these shiurim. Okay? So now we're going to say, one second, right, so Rabba said that everybody says that if something shrunk from its original shiur, right, we're going to go by the present. So now they're going to raise a question to this from it's a Tosefta in Trumot. Tormim te'enim al hagrogrof b'minyan. Okay, the first thing to know here, it says Tormim, which sounds like they're talking about Truma, but they're actually talking about Maser. Okay, how do we know they're talking about Maser? Because Maser has to be measured exactly, because Maser is 1/10. And it's talking about b'minyan, how you do it. It doesn't, truma, you can do 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, right? Even, you know, you have to even just do a little bit for truma, but, you know, we have, the rabbis gave it a shiur, but there's no exact measurement for truma. So they're talking about meiser here. Now, te'inim, okay, there's a whole bunch of things you need to know here. Te'inim are regular dates, and grogrot are dried, figs. Te'inim are dry, are figs, and grogrot are dried figs, okay? The next thing you need to know is that there's three ways you could do maaser. One is midah, which is volume. You can measure the volume of it. One is mishkal. You could do it by weight. And one is minyan. You could do it by counting. You could say, I'm taking one out of every 10. Okay? And the assumption is that if you do one out of every 10, even though different ones are different sizes, you'll probably pick the average size ones, and you'll end up with it basically being okay. But in the case where you take, if you want to do, take, you have, let's say, 100 items, okay? 90 of them are grogrot, are the dried figs, and 10 of them are regular figs, and you want to take those regular figs as your maaser, you can do it b'minyan. You can do it by counting, but you can't do it by volume or by weight, because they're obviously going to be a different weight and a different volume. Numbering, it's fine. So now they're going to say like this. This only works according to one of the tefisot. Why? Iyamar bishlama lekimot shehem misharin, or kimot shehayu misharin. If we say it goes by its original, then shapir. Then it makes sense that you can count 10 out of, you know, count, take 10 for those 90. Because basically you had 100 figs, 10 of them got dried, right? But basically, you're taking the exact amount that it was from the beginning, the exact ratio. Ela iamart kimot shehen, if you look at it right now, havele marbe b'masrot. You're basically taking way too much maser now, because you're taking those figs that aren't dry, and you're taking them on all the dried figs, but you're taking, let's say they shrink halfway. Let's just give an example, okay? They shrink to half their size. You're now taking double the amount, because you'd only need, you wouldn't need that many. So you're now taking double the amount, let's say, of maaser, and you're marbeb and masrot. Now, what's the problem? This is the other thing you need to know about marbeb and masrot. V'tanya, harmarbeb is masrot, perotav mitukanin u'maasrotav mikulkalin. Maaser, since it has to be exact, if you take too many, then what happens? Well, you fixed your other fruits because you took enough for the rest of the pile, but you now have a pile of maaser. Let's say in our case, let's say you took 50, you know, too much, you took double the amount. So half the amount would be considered maaser, and half the amount is, not only is it not maaser, but it's considered tevel because you haven't been mafrish truma to maaser from it. So half of it is actually problematic. So your maaser is totally messed up. So if we say we're going to go by what it is right now, you can't possibly take te'inim on grogrot, because you're going to end up with way too much maaser, and that's a problem. Elamai, and therefore what must it be? It must be likimot shehen or likimot shehayu. Right? You'd have to say it's based on the original amount, and that's why you can take the exact number of what it would have been originally, right? By number. So now they say, but wait, ema seifa, but look at the continuation. Grogrot ala te'inim, if you want to do the reverse, you want to take the dried figs. You want to take 10 dried figs to be mafrish for 90 non-dried figs. You can do it bimida. You can do it by volume. Okay, so now what's it going to work for? Iyamark bishlama kimot shehen. If we say you do based on now, then shapir. Because now you're going to take, and how does this work? If you do it in volume, you're now going to have, right, the opposite. You're going to have grogrot. How does it work? If you have these dried ones, and you're going to do it by...
If you do it by numbers, it's fine. If you do it by volume, you'll only do maaser for half of it.
Right, if you do it by volume, you're going to only do maaser for half. So why is it better if we go by now? If you do it, right, you can't do it b'minyan. Right, because if you did it b'minyan, you'd end up with a totally off amount again. But if you do it, right, because, one second. No, if you do it, one second. If you do it, right, we don't care what it was originally.
And therefore it makes sense, because you could do gorgot ala teinim. Right, you do it according to the midah, because not by the minyan. You base it on what it is now. Kimot shehen is based on now. Right, you can do it, if you say you could do it based on what it is now, then you can weigh them and go based on the weight of now. That makes sense. But if you say l'kimot shehen, the way they were, then again, you're going to be bar mebe masrot. Because if you go based on weight, and you go based on volume, and you go based on the volume of what it was then, and you use the volume of what it is now, right? But really, the volume of the dried ones was much greater earlier, so you're going to be taking way too many masrot, right? Because you're taking, right, every kav, that, you know, every amount that you took is really like double the amount, let's say. So you're taking double the amount of what you should have taken. So therefore, it doesn't make sense. So basically, the Reisha and the Seifa contradict each other if you're going to go by one's present, one's past. So therefore, what are the answer? In order to avoid this problem, they just say, since it seems to contradict, it can't be talking about Masrot, because either which way, you're going to be Barbem and Masrot in one of the cases. So what are the answer? Elahacha b'truma gedola askinan. It must be talking about, what they mean here is, there's truma, and then from the truma, you take truma maser. You take one-tenth of the truma. Right? You give the maser to the Levim, and the Levim have to take a tenth of the maser you give them and give to the Kohen. That truma doesn't have to be measured exactly. That's a different kind of truma. The truma that the Levi has to give to the Kohen doesn't get measured exactly, which means that you don't have to worry if you're Mareb and Masrot. And therefore, they say, the Reisha, where it read one way, you could say, when we said, but if you read it that way, it's Mareb and Masrot, you could say, oh, that, Ba'ayin Yafa, V'seifa Ba'ayin Yafahi. In other words, you could explain both cases. Once you take it out of the realm of Masrot, we don't care if you're Mareb and Masrot. And then in each case, you could be Mareb and Masrot, and we don't care, because it's Truma Maser, and you're allowed to be Mareb and Truma, and give it Ba'ayin Yafa if you want. So then they say, if you want to say that that's the case, hihachi em a seifa, amar Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yossi, abba haya notel eser grogot shebemiktsoa, al tishim shebekalkala. Okay, he says, my father would take 10 grogot that were in the miktsoa, that's where they would dry it out. It was like, there were different ways of explaining, either it's a machatzelet, like a mat that they would dry them out on, and he would take 10 of those, 490 on the kilkala that was in the basket. Those are the ones that are not dried. V'i b'truma gedola, and if it's talking about truma gedola, eser maya vidite. Oh, my mistake, sorry. Here they think you're actually talking about truma. First, I'm sorry, my mistake. I gave the answer too early. In the first answer, they thought that the whole thing was just truma, the truma that everyone gives to the Kohen. So then they say if they're talking about truma, the continuation is, well, he would take 10 on 90, where the exact ratio is given, and if it's truma gedola, there's no one-tenth. And therefore they say, alahacha b'truma maser askina. Now they answer what I thought before, which is, it's talking about the one-tenth that the Levi gives to the Kohen. Va'aba Elazar ben Gomel, who, and it's according to Abba Elazar ben Gomel, detanya Abba Elazar ben Gomel, omer, v'nechshav lachem trumotechem. When it says v'nechshav lachem trumotechem, why does it say truma in plural? B'shtei trumot ha-katub medaber. Chad truma gedola, v'chad truma ma'aser. Okay, he says this trumatchem, the plural, is referring to two trumot. Which two trumot are there? The truma that every Yisrael gives to the Kohen, and the truma that the Levi has to give to the Kohen from the ma'aser he receives from a regular Yisrael. And therefore, once they're together in this pasuk, what does he say? Abba Elazar ben Gomel, k'shem shetruma gedola nitelet ba'omer u'b'machshava. Just like truma gedola, you do by estimation, or even b'machshava, you could say in your head, I'm setting this aside, I'm designating this area, you know, these fruits. Kach truma maser nitelet ba'omer u'b'machshava. And ma truma gedola ba'ayin yafa, af truma maser ba'ayin yafa. So here we see, and from this, Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yossi, Ava Yanotel Eshagorot Shabim Ksoa, Al Tisha Shabakal Kala. Okay, let's stop here. We'll pick up from here tomorrow. Actually, this is a new thing from the Mina. But we're basically saying, don't worry that whole thing seems to contradict what we were saying, because that whole thing wasn't talking about exact measurements. It was talking about doing it by Omed, and it was talking about the Truma Maser and not about And that's only if you hold like Abba Elazar ben Gomel, who views the Truma Gedola, the Truma Maaser, like the Truma Gedola. The reason to think that they're not the same is because the Truma Maaser is 1/10, and the Truma Gedola doesn't have a shiur. So you might have thought they were different, but he says they're together in this pasuk to show that we do them all in the same way. Tomorrow we'll continue with this stuff.